Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Out of the Box Integration of Industry Standard Data Formats with Your Enterprise Infrastructure. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes. Today's call is being recorded. In this teleconference, you'll learn how WebSphere Transformation Extender can help reduce the complexity of your infrastructure and related maintenance costs, while giving the flexibility to keep up with changing requirements, including emerging industry standards. The speaker for today's teleconference is Colin P. Taylor, WebSphere Product Marketing Manager, Application Integration. And at this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, Colin Taylor.
Thank you very much. If you turn to chart two, welcome everyone. The agenda for today's teleconference is in three parts. First of all, I'd like to do an introductory discussion of the needs driving data transformation, the use of industry standard data formats, and have a look at validation in terms of a service with respect to service-oriented architecture. Then I'd like to follow with a high-level walkthrough the studio tooling of WebSphere Transformation Extender, highlighting its features. And finally, for the System C audience here today, I'd like to, again, walk you through the deployment options available with WebSphere Transformation for System Z users. The charts you have contain a lot of information. There's 45 charts in all. Hopefully we can get through this and give you a broad overview of how WebSphere Transformation plays in the System Z space. So if you'd like to turn to chart three, this chart is basically some of the challenges customers have told us they were trying to actually solve when they came to IBM looking for data transformation solutions. As your infrastructure grows, the need to provide a transformation service, not just for simple data, but for complex data, tends to grow, and especially in a service-oriented architecture or SOA environment, which encourage you more applications to be connected via an enterprise service bus and new applications designed as web services developed from existing applications. New services may need to utilize information from a wider variety of sources where it is stored and exchanged in a wide variety of formats. To reuse mature business applications in an SOA or perform business transactions that conform to industry standard exchange formats, this will involve manipulating complex structured data that is not XML data, processing data structures where the format is variable and not necessarily fixed or predictable in advance, processing documents that batch together many individual transactions. These need to be broken out and processed individually with the applications that actually are going to receive those transactions. Responding to changes in exchange standards as the formats evolve. All standards change. They've evolved from fixed formats and now increasingly they're evolving to XML formats, yet there's still a need to handle both formats where applications still are looking for the older format. And finally, checking the content complies to the standards to ensure first-time successful transmission. When information goes outside your organization via a message transmission service, again, they have rules and guidance for submission and will reject invalid entries, not just on the structure, but also on the content of the messages transmitted. Now, writing this logic into the applications or perhaps the custom adapter is really an inhibitor to business flexibility. And if you're writing pre- and post-processor checking applications, this can just add to the complexity and the development costs, and last but not least, add to the management overhead over time for the life cycle of that solution. There is also the challenges of where in your service-oriented architecture, where is the most efficient place to manipulate the data? Closer to the source application on the mainframe, or as documents are received at a B2B or EDI gateway? These are generally architectural decisions guided by performance and throughput considerations, together with the processing power of the hardware platforms. The challenge comes through different products in your infrastructure having varying levels of transformation capability. Today, enterprise service buses, portals, business process servers are all able to perform basic transformations and mediations, typically with XML, and generate business rules. But as the complexity of the information to be transformed grows, the actual number of lines of script or code to write starts to become very significant. This may mean inheriting a maintenance burden that grows over time and as your business requirements change and the number of different transformation artifacts held by those different products within your architecture grows. A significant business challenge described by our customers. Moving to chart 4, how does IBM Webster Transformation Extender address those challenges? Well, let's introduce the product family. It provides a universal transformation engine that can describe and transform most any data. It is equally suited to both SOA and traditional non-SOA environments, and it's successfully playing a role in many healthcare insurance companies today as a component of a B2B gateway that's capable of validating compliance to, say, the HIPAA EDI standards and converting inbound transactions into formats more consumable by your internal business systems. In banking and finance, it performs a similar role for electronic payments and securities, and it's a core component of IBM solutions for banking. IBM Webster Transformation Extender transforms, validates, and enriches document files and messages containing complex and variable data structures. It delivers trustworthy information for your critical business initiatives, and it helps meet regulatory compliance requirements. So turning to chart 5, this chart describes some of the styles and demands customers using Webster Transformation Extender applying the transformation engine to, both from a data processing aspect and an application integration aspect. Some of the demands it requires, it needs to be handled synchronous and asynchronous communication to the engine. It's used in batch processing environments, and it has the capability to handle multiple inputs and multiple outputs and synchronize on the content as data integration sets are actually interdependent on each other. Chart 6. So here, I just wanted to sum up the core value differentiators for the transformation extender. It has powerful transformation capabilities without coding. So you have one common design method, one set of tools. You're not generating any code yourself. You're not writing any code. And that one design method applies to all the deployment scenarios, which we'll touch on in Section 3. It offers a lower cost for implementation over application development. And key to this is how to maintain these transformations over time. And again, the Webster Transformation Extender actually has a return on investment, not just for the initial deployment, but year-on-year return on investment as you maintain the solutions, as industry standards change and you need to keep up with the changes, and if you're protecting your applications from that change, whereas suppose the application's interfaces are used to a fixed format standard and an introduction of an XML standard, one way would be to rewrite the application, a costly solution. The alternative is to put a data transformation engine as a preprocessor for those application interfaces. And then you have, again, a code-free method for your designers to manipulate the data, enrich it for the two different formats you're transforming between. The other value differentiator, it natively handles any data type, so it doesn't flatten or restructure the data. It doesn't need a generic business object approach. It leaves the data as is for each input and maps it to one or more outputs. And so the data integrity and meaning of that data are never lost. And you can actually compute values and validate the content. Say, for example, a purchase order, a multi-line item document, and you can actually sum the totals, check totals against subtotals, and a lot more. And in-process data validation, so it can actually remove the need for writing a preprocessor or post-processor applications to actually do the validation and checking of the content. And that's an important thing. It's the semantics of the data, not just the structure. And when dealing with external industry standards, often it's the implementation rules and the design guidelines for the content of the message that's important for successful transmission first time. So Website Transformation Extender is here. It can solve the simple problems, but it can really solve some really hard problems in less time than traditional programming solutions. Moving to Chart 7. Chart 7 goes into quite a lot of detail on taking those key value propositions and describing each one in turn, let you, read the content of the chart rather than go through it in a lot of detail. So code-free design and deployment, self-describing data model. So we've mentioned no generic business format. We can handle complex and mixed data types. You can map between self-describing XML data. You can easily import XML and have it automatically converted to non-XML formats. In-process data validation. So again, you're not actually sequencing a set of pre-processors and post-processors. You can validate the output as it's generated from the input sources. Again, transformation maps can be deployed across a wide range of platforms. Today's audience is a Systems E audience, but we have support for Windows, AIX, the Unixes, as well as Systems E. And the same design tooling works for all deployment platforms. Here it can be deployed with Kix, IMS, DB2, or drive batch processes under MVS, and we'll cover that again in Section 3. For service-oriented architecture deployments, Website Transformation Extender is a companion product for deployment with WebSphere ESB, which also runs on Z, WebSphere Message Broker, which runs on Z, or WebSphere Process Server, the business process management and automation offering. As a companion product, it is basically providing the service of transformation for business processes and for the web services be in sequence with ESB. So Website Transformation Extender provides the core transformation. One of its additions can actually sequence those transformation maps, or you could actually leave that to the ESB or process server to actually sequence the business process itself and then make a transformation an individual activity step of that business process. So again, coming back to the point of SOA and non-SOA environments, in a non-SOA environment, one transformation map can actually encapsulate many aspects of a business process. But where you need more visibility of the business process and you want to simulate, manage, and monitor those business processes, then TX is an ideal companion for the Website Process Server in the business process management space. We've mentioned one engine for multiple deployment options. Let's touch on Solution Accelerator Pack. So Website Transformation Extender, its value in its tools and in its deployment is complemented by optional industry packs. These can cut development times and maintenance costs even further when used with Website Transformation Extender. They accelerate the time to value by providing assets that are maintained by IBM, assets that are industry standard formats, ready to deploy in the tooling for Website Transformation Extender. And we provide regular updates when a standards body or regulatory authority release new versions. Again, many banks and financial institutions are using Website Transformation Extender with SwiftNet and the Swift format. In healthcare, it may be HIPAA. And we've recently introduced a pack for SEPA, which is Single European Payments Area, and I've got charts on that to come. They all do a similar job in basically reducing the time to integrate and convert to payments or healthcare standards, whichever industry you're actually delivering a solution for. So the Western Transformation Extender Enterprise Pack provides similar templates and adapters for leading enterprise applications, including SAP, SAP Exchange Infrastructure, Siebel and PeopleSoft. Again, with most of the hard work accomplished, users can focus on the information, the customizations they require, and get to production faster with the acceleration packs. Chart 8. So let's have a look at healthcare, some of the organizations Webster Transformation Extender has been deployed in, either in its current version or in its previous versions. At this point, I should say Webster Transformation Extender was originally acquired by IBM from a company called Essential. And you may well know it under a different name of Webster DataStage TX or Mercator. It has a history going back to the late 1990s and is a mature product now. And since acquired by IBM, we've actually enhanced it, provide additional support, and develop new additions, again, which we'll come on to later. So it's during our implementations of our service organizations in healthcare, we can identify some of the most pressing healthcare business issues, increased pressure to control costs, improving productivity and processes, and focusing on improving quality of care. We help many of these organizations to minimize the resources they need to respond to claims and status requests, eliminate labor and paper-intensive processes, give patients and other key constituents online access to appropriate data, and manage patient care cases in real time. With the help of IBM services, or indeed partnering system integrators, we've brought to our customer sites architectural assessment, quick installation procedures, and technology training as a service to accompany Webster Transformation Extender. And we have a quick start service for Webster Transformation Extender from IBM services to actually sit alongside customers, help them with original review of their needs, and introduce Webster Transformation Extender to their organization. So for healthcare, we have three industry packs for Webster Transformation Extender. HIPAA EDI, which addresses the administrative simplification aspects of the HIPAA legislation. Again, we focus on the EDI, not so much the security aspects of HIPAA. It's the standardization of the electronic patient health, admin, and financial data. Again, those regulations affect payers, health plans, clearinghouses, and those providers who conduct financial and admin transactions electronically. Healthcare Level 7, or HL7, is an ANSI-accredited standards organization operating in the healthcare arena. Its domain is clinical data, and HL7 produces standards for the exchange, management, and integration, promoting interoperability between healthcare information systems. And finally, NCPDP, or National Council of Prescription Drug Providers, this is another mandated government requirement, regulatory requirement, part of HIPAA, and addresses claims in retail pharmacy. So many organizations, such as Blue Cross and Blue Shield, have implemented IBM software to address their HIPAA legislation requirements. Chart 9. Again, this chart just shows healthcare claims processing as part of an EDI gateway. Point here is the simple benefits inquiry, if you were doing it on the telephone, might take 20 minutes. Using standardized electronic data interchange, this type of request can be processed almost immediately and without the need for a call to the insurer's customer service center, the healthcare insurance service providers, who routinely interact with the hospitals, the medical clinics, billing agencies, and so on, determining what patient service has been provided and who needs to be paid. Each year in the United States, healthcare insurers process well over 5 billion claims for payments. Here, consider the transaction complexity that's required. A single insurance transaction may contain information for multiple healthcare services for multiple patients. And conversely, the insurer may have separate systems for adjudication based on which healthcare provider or coverage plan submits the claim. So you need a system that, again, can manage these transactions between the healthcare insurance providers, settlement providers, and the hospitals and clinics themselves. Slide 10. This chart, again, more for information purposes, just shows you some of the HIPAA EDI transaction messages. Again, unique to the US market, mandated by US government. We support a feature for embedding XML claims attachments, which are a new feature added to the HIPAA formats. We provide all the validations mandated by the organizations known as WEDI and SNP on the EDI and the XML validation of the claims attachments. These messages are known as the 4010 format, and there is a new HIPAA 5010 format requirement with changes that will be required to be implemented by healthcare providers for claims in 2007 and 2008. So here's an example of industry standards, changing formats, new pieces of information added into the message sets. And one of the capabilities required is to map between older formats and the newer formats as standards transition to an XML format. Chart 11, this just again covers healthcare HL7. Here again just describes some of the data and the definitions of the messages transmitted for patient administration, clinical orders, etc. Again, when we have our industry pack for HL7, it includes versions from 2.1 to 2.3 and 2.5. They skipped 2.4, apparently, in the standards organization. And now there is an HL7 version 3 XML format. So in the pack, we have the traditional formats, but the XML format can be easily downloaded and imported for creating transformations to the new standard. Chart 12, again, this was interesting for me. I found this piece of information on the internet. I've anonymized it. And this is showing you some of the guidance that was provided for payments to a claims organization. And you can see from the complexity of the guidance, there's a lot of room for human error coding this into applications. And there is still room for error and how you actually interpret regulatory requirements or even the individual payments providers' requirements for the receiving and transmitting of messages. So there's, even with industry standards, there's always a degree of customization that might be involved. But here you could see the benefit of having industry solution packs that have already, someone has gone through, understood the requirements, and coded that into validation rules and checking rules such that you can provide a better quality of service using the transformation engine. Moving on, chart 13. Here again, we've just covered healthcare. TX is a big player in the financial institutions and banking space with Fortune 1000 coverage. We have industry packs for Swift, messaging service, and for European customers, we've introduced a pack for the initiative for the single European payments area, a major initiative in Europe to standardize payments transactions between customer banks and between interbanks across Europe without actually requiring to go back to domestic formats. And other financial standards, FIX, NACHA in America, and Accord for assurance, again, where there is an XML format and membership to an organization gives you access to the XML format, you can download those and import them into the Design Studio and automatically generate the metadata required to actually map those to XML and non-XML formats. Chart 14. Here is a slightly simplified scenario in the finance industry. It's a real banking example of a cash reconciliation scenario. It demonstrates that we have six inputs for the engine from a variety of system types in order to process the report for a bank. Each of the six inputs will have different forms, formats, data types, input methods, and usage rules. The results of this transformation utilize some heavy interdependencies across those inputs. We have binary data, a database table, a COBOL application, COBOL copybook, a cache management application that is streamed from a socket connection, a low-level connection, a risk analysis application connected via a WebSUMQ messaging backbone, and EBCDIC data from a mainframe file, so binary data. Before transformation can commence, each of these input sources really has to be synchronized. Processing one source without the others would fail. And in order to produce the outputs, it's not just the form and structure that needs to be changed, but the input source contents compared, processed together in one step, and then to create meaningful outputs. The outputs of this transformation form two types of outputs: a cash reconciliation report and application updates. But actually, 27 new files and 413 messages were created as part of this single transformation, corresponding to payers, payees, the checking accounts affected. So Webster Transformation Extender met this challenge by handling all the data semantics, the usage rules, and the constraints of the outputs. It also handled transforming from different data types, the binary, the EBCDIC, into ASCII, and it even produced an audit trail for the whole transformation down to a transaction level using native abilities of the transformation engine. Chart 15, I mentioned single European payments area. Some of the integration challenges in finance for this initiative were basically the actual data set. It's large, it's complex, and it basically requires more than basic XML schema handling, as there are rule books, there are mandatory and voluntary requirements required, not only for format level compliance, but the actual content validation and implementation rule logic. Again, SEPA was not originally welcomed with open arms, perhaps, in the banking industry, faced with the uncertainty, risk, and investment costs of possibly implementing new IT systems. This is a standard that will transition from domestic payment systems and the costs of having those payments go across national borders within the European community with a pan-European system. So some have taken a strategic approach, some have taken a tactical approach. And the tactical approach can be with Webster Transformation Extender leveraging their existing applications and infrastructure and addressing the changing standards such that for a transition period, both the current banking systems for payments and the new electronic payment system can run in parallel for an eventual transition from 2010 onwards. For some, it's been the trigger to overhaul aging payment systems, and the more strategic investment program is put in place. Chart 16, this just highlights the contents of the pack. We handle credit transfers, direct debits. We perform the validation of the SEPA Unify standard message set. And we provide validation for the European Payments Council, who happens to be the regulatory authority for this new initiative. We poured over the implementation rules and created validation for use within Webster Transformation Extender. I mean, we also provide conversion between SWIFT messages for payments the single credit transfer, message type 103 to SAPER. And we also provide sample domestic to SAPER converter maps. Again, there is always information that still will be need to customize within the tools. For example, certain codes, the BIC, a currency code, a country code. Again, these we provide lookup tables, but maybe existing banks have that information stored in a database. So when we provide templates that basically perform a lookup on files on the file system, they can quickly be replaced with adapters to the database or wherever the information is held to actually provide their own lookup data for bit codes and currency codes. So key points here is, again, the PAC address is an industry standard. It accelerates the development of transformations. It protects applications and enables them to be reused with the new standards. And basically, again, they earn their pay in terms of the return on investment as you maintain these systems over time. Finally, again, Western Transformation Extender, as you said, can be used as a tactical solution. For strategic solutions, it is actually a core component of an enterprise payments platform. Again, SAPER covers more than just the transformation. There are business process formats for executing that particular model. And so TX with Process Server and Message Broker can be, you know, part of a strategic platform which can be tailored to fit, you know, your needs for a best-of-breed solution. So that's the end of the first section of today's agenda, covering the introduction to the data transformation and looking at the industry standards and out-of-the-box solutions for using Western Transformation Extender. Now, this is next section will be a high-level walkthrough of the tooling for Western Transformation Extender. This is not a technical deep dive by any means. Again, so it should be of interest for technical audience as well as the business audience, just to get a feel for, you know, how the tools can help you to actually, you know, eliminate coding for transformation. So now let's look at the core components that go to make up a Webster TX transformation. This is a gentle walkthrough. Just need to know some key phrases and definitions. So on chart 19, and we look at analyze what is the simple components of the transformation. There is basically a definition, a graphical representation of the input and output to the engine in terms of data. Because we're dealing with self-describing and non-self-describing information, those definitions are needed. And XML, is when imported, is automatically generates this new format, which we call a type tree. The rules are the mapping process and the validation of the output process. The rules define how the source structure is transformed to destination structures and is the essence of the transformation engine. Adapters, in this context, are technical connectors which can be plugged into the source and destination. From its heritage, the file adapter is actually built into the engine itself. There's not a separate adapter, so you can always test and develop using files before you actually need to actually deploy with adapters to your actual business applications. And again, another key point is the adapters themselves don't need to get involved in transforming data themselves. They can focus on the technical connections. And together, these basic components form what we call a map and stored as a map source file. So, again, as I say, files, this is a file-based system. The source map is a file. It can be managed in any source code management system. Important for some customers is the fact there is no dependency on a required repository database. We don't, for this product, state that you shall manage this in such and such database. All the artifacts are file-based, again, simplifying management and allowing you to use your in-house processes and systems for actually backing up and managing revisions of some of these artifacts. If you go to chart 20, similar chart, this just indicates that this is a multi-in, multi-out type engine. So when we have three inputs, each input being a different format, like in the finance scenario, we create a definition for each of those formats for input and a definition of the inputs or type trees for output. We still have one set of rules, and for each input and output, we define a set of adapters. So I'm told that TXTake can handle up to 100 inputs and outputs, but each one needs to be associated with a type tree definition and adapter for output. So again, our scenario before had 6 inputs and 2 outputs, perhaps more realistic, but that's the theoretical max and min, 100 inputs. We described maps in various ways by their usage. So you could hear someone talking to application maps or conversion maps. This would be the map source for the high-level map source that you would store in your code management system that executes the main transformations. But when you're dealing with complex data, there is a need to simplify the processing. And just like subroutines in programs, we have the concept of functional maps. These can be called from other maps for repeatable tasks. So if you're processing multiple sales orders or purchase orders and you're doing the same set of sequences, that could be defined as one or more functional maps called from the application map. And again, so functional maps are in effect nesting or subroutines from simplifying the process of transformation and design. Validation maps, again, a validation map would have the same type tree for the input and output, but so defining the same data in as out, but you can then specify all the rules for validating it. So you can insert a validation map for testing, and then later on conditionally remove it for production use. Or the validation may be actually a key component of your production use. And this is a way where you can build up quite interesting solutions and handle complex scenarios with a combination of functional maps and validation maps. And one of the points of interest in passing is if you're a current user of earlier versions of Transformation Extender, perhaps version 6 or version 7, when debugging nested maps from version 8.1, the debugger can actually traverse these maps, dropping into the functional maps and then back to the calling map. So again, one of the new features in version 8.1 over earlier products that might just tempt you to consider upgrading the version of your current product. And again, we urge existing customers to upgrade to version 8.1 to exploit some of the new features of these versions. Chart 21. So, okay, so here's a screenshot of the type designer. So the next few slides provide a quick tour through a basic design process for transformations. I'm going to use screenshots of the two main tools in the Design Studio. One is the type designer. That's going to design the metadata. And the map designer, that is going to do the transformation and the definition of validation rules and transformation rules. All the design work, analyzing, and functional testing of the transformation, the map, can be performed using the Design Studio on MS Windows desktop before deployment to the server of your choice. So for Z-Series customers, all the design work can be done on Windows using a rich graphical environment prior to any deployment. And the testing can be totally independent of the actual target platform. Any hard-coded paths or locations for the environment can be overridden at runtime. And again, the maps can be executed from scripts and from the command line for those testing, and parameters override some of those functions. So the first step in the design process is the data definition for your inputs and outputs. And again, the type tree describes the syntax, the structure, and semantics of your data. If it's a fixed format, what are the tags, delimiters? Is there prefixes, or terminators, and other characters that separate and identify different sections of the data content of the input? So the engine is actually processing a byte stream of data, and it's using the type tree's definitions to build, you know, indexes of that data internally within the engine. The structure of data refers to its composition. So again, you're going to define, you know, repeating substructures and nested groupings using the type designer. And then the semantics of the data refer to the meaning of the data, and that's when we look to the mapping, the map designer, to include rules for data values. And so the type designer, again, like all the other tools in TX, as I mentioned, has command line utility equivalent commands to perform tasks. So again, for production, for in-house rules, no, commands can be scripted for actually designing the tools if you wish, for repetitive design tasks. Chart 22, so the second stage, you've defined your inputs and outputs and the definitions, is the map designer. The map designer is a client of the design studio, and now you're basically taking your input and output specifications and then mapping them between each other. So the map designer uses the definitions stored in the type trees, and the map rules operate on input data objects and build the output data objects. The screenshot happens to show an example conversion, if you look closely, between a COBOL copybook input and an XML output. The output is a new financial bank in an industry standard exchange format, and we've already mentioned it, SEPA, credit transfer payments for Europe. The from window shows the input, and the to window in the screenshot shows the output format. And the output format, as you can see, has a map rule field. Each field has a map rule specified to generate the output. In fact, every field has to have a rule, even if it's just a straight one-to-one mapping. Assigning roles is similar in some ways to how you specify macros and functions in a spreadsheet. Simple mappings from input to output fields are performed with drag and drop. Fields can also be computed by selecting functions from an out-of-the-box function library that's provided. This has, I think, now got over 140 functions in the library. This is an extensible library, and if you wish to add your own library functions, these can be coded in C, and they would be made available along with the out-of-the-box functions. If you look at the from window, you'll see an example of how a function is defined to display as text, account of the number of detailed records contained in the input document. And then it stores the count as a text string, NBOF TXs, in the output record. So the map designer is, again, a tool that easily represents complex transformation rules. It has drag and drop mapping capability. It has a function library that's extensible. And from the map designer, you can debug transformations. A feature of, again, of 8.1, the latest version, is not only can debug local, but you can also debug by connecting to a remote runtime of transformation extender. And it generates map source files. So chart 23, again, goes into those details I've just mentioned. You see an example of drag and dropping between the to and the from. You see the function library, and notice the context-sensitive help with every function immediately to hand. And you see the full business rule, similar to, you know, using a spreadsheet and a macro, being developed in a text edit window, which you can use to, you know, manually edit should you choose to do so. So here's an example of a custom order transformation. Again, notice there are two inputs and one output in this example. So here's an example of multi-in and multi-out, if you like, but here we've got one output. Input 2 has been titled XRef file, which sounds like cross-reference file, which suggests it contains lookup data and perhaps it's there to complete an enumeration or convert a numeric code into a text description. And here you see the quantity ordered and the unit price fields are the dragged and dropped, so they're straightforward mapping. And the want date field is set to the order date conditionally, so if less than 5 days from its current date. So you can look at that and see how three different types of mapping, conditional rules, straightforward one-to-one mapping. Chart 24 shows the built-in validations. We can incorporate semantic validation directly into the parsing process, and it supports aggregate functions and computations. So semantic validation is really the checking of the business sense of the data being transformed. And so that eliminates need to write application code to perform this type of business checking. We should mention that if you need to perform simple database or file lookups to conditionally insert content or validate the content, you can do so directly from the tool. For more complex lookups, again, you could put those requests into a function map, especially if it's going to have some repeat processing, which is going to be used elsewhere. So functional maps can be used in other maps as well. So again, we're promoting reuse amongst the assets and artifacts used to create transformations. Chart 25 continues to show some other built-in validations, enumerations, exclusions, pattern setting minimum, maximums, and ranges. So a lot of checking built in, as well as the flexibility to add macros to build up conditional validation. So chart 26, in the previous screenshots, I mentioned the from window and the to window. These correspond to the inputs and outputs, and we tend to call them cards. The cards basically are definitions and the transformation extended term for where you define the source and targets for the mapping transformation. So here you see that the type tree and type tree components are identified, as well as the adapter type of the data and the location of data. So you do this for each input and each output card. This is a double-click operation to bring up the dialog, and you specify whether the source or the target is and where its path is. Again, as mentioned, there are a couple of ways where you can actually override values put in for locations. There's a resource manager that manages aliases for file paths, such that it makes it easier to deploy to a test system, a staging server, and then the production server deployment. Alternatively, for some testing, you can actually override the paths on the command line, as we mentioned before. Chart 27. Here, I just wanted to mention out-of-the-box connectivity. So Webster Transformation Extender on distributed platforms comes with a range of technical adapters. There is also a secure adapters optional pack for implementing more secure systems. With TX, some adapters are used together, such as SOAP and HTTP. So you have adapters that work in tandem to actually produce the right protocol over the right wire protocol. Whilst we haven't yet covered the different runtimes, but when we use with a native ZOS environment, the subset of adapters that are most commonly called upon are the file adapter, adapter for DB2, the database, WebCMQ for messaging, and file transfer protocol. So again, this is just making a statement that these adapters are not supported necessarily on every platform, but the core requirements for the particular environment are covered. You see a KIX adapter highlighted in blue. This allows you to retrieve KIX screen data using a 3270 bridge transaction over TCP/IP, but it's not required for Transformation Extender to actually participate in KIX transactions, and more of this later in the presentation. Just finishing up a review of the screenshots, important to note, from within a transformation, you can always call out to external programs from the mapping. So you can call external programs from maps. Those programs could be C applications, COBOL applications, Java applications, and there are a few other APIs we support, COM, C#. As you look at the screenshot, you can see that the function library is divided into categories for easy selection. And this extensibility point is important should you have functions that we have not implemented in the library at this time. Chart 29. Again, transformation alone, things do go wrong, and you need some comprehensive support for handling input errors. So you get an input that has either the input could be syntax is wrong and rejected. It could be the business content does not meet input validation using the built-in validation. Suffice to say, you can choose to just stop on error, suitable for some sort of environments, maybe batch processing, or you can choose to report the error and continue processing through where you have a batch set of inputs. Again, here I'm showing in the screenshot the reject function is just one of half a dozen general purpose error handling functions provided in the library. And but the power of the transformation engine itself is you can generate multiple outputs, so you can generate custom error reports. And so rather than living with obscure numeric error codes, you can actually print a whole report for maybe a batch processing job, or at least present easily readable report messages and symptoms for identifying faults during tracing. And let's say various levels of tracing, logging, which can be turned on and off as you would expect. Chart 30. So we've defined the inputs and outputs in terms of the metadata. We've composed a data transformation. Again, totally agnostic really to the target deployment environment. And so now we're able to, from the tool, analyze the interfaces within the map world. So you can get build errors and build warnings. So we can actually analyze the interface and then save that as the transportable, reusable, portable map source file. And then when it comes to deployment, we can create a compiled format for the platform for deployment of choice, in this case, System Z. And so we have a portable format, and map source can be compiled for any of the deployment scenarios we're going to look at in a moment. Chart 31, just to complete the picture, one of our family of editions of Webster Transformation Extender is the Webster Transformation Extender with Launcher, which is an event-driven standalone environment for transformation. And here we can see the high-level tool to complement the map designer, which is an integration flow designer. Now, if you're already a user of WebSIM Message Broker, this may look very similar to you. Basically, here we can sequence graphically calls to related map files. So you can basically create a process consisting entirely of map transformation files, exploiting all the inputs and outputs capabilities to actually collect, enrich from databases and from applications. When you actually graphically design it, it combines the collections of maps and saves them to a system file. And so, again, this is a term just used for TX. We call them system files. The tool is mainly used with the Launcher edition. However, it also can generate command execution files for another edition, which we'll get into in a moment, the command server. So it's not a prerequisite, unlike for the Launcher edition. So if you're a user of WebSIM Message Broker and we have an addition for you to extend the capabilities of WebSIM Message Broker, in that case, you would not use this integration flow designer but would use the regular Message Broker flow designer where the transformation appears as a node. So design your mapping transformations for complex data for mapping to industry standards, which tend to be the EDI type formats, and this is complementary to WebSIM Message Broker. And similarly, should you combine WebSIM Transformation Extender with WebSIM ESB process server, again, the maps designed in here can be executed from the process execution engine those products provide. And so each top level map acts as a business process activity in that case. So that's my quick walkthrough of the design tooling. My intention is, again, not to provide education, but to just give you a breadth and depth and the possibilities of using the design tools. So Now we move on to our final section to address the deployment options for Web3 Transformation Extender. And this is where I really want to talk to the deployment scenarios for systems E users. We're going to cover now each of the scenarios for deploying Web3 Transformation Extender in the systems E environment. Chart 33, just segueing in from our discussion of the tools to a discussion of the ZOS deployment. All the design of those transformations can be done in the rich graphical environment of WebSphere Transformation Design Studio, and that runs on Microsoft Windows desktop platform. So there's no designing of transformations using the clear screen, green screen terminal environment of System Z. And so it's only when you've actually compiled the transformations, moved them across to the System Z server, that you actually would need not a transformation designer, but the system administrator with skills for System Z, who will prove useful for configuring the particular Z environment in terms of memory allocation, file space, and System Z specifics. And so, again, the transformations can be analyzed, debugged, and functionally tested all before they need to be deployed to the runtime system. So a division of skills needed when you come to deployment. So, chart 34. Again, you can see the content for this is quite technical, but again, I just want to take you through it at a reasonably high level. This information is, you know, again, encapsulated in release notes and installation guides for each of these environments. And so we're going to walk through each of the scenarios and then provide a summary at the end of, you know, which version should you order, maybe for which environment and which solution you need. For ZOS, now, if we're doing batch applications, end-of-day batch applications, settlements, we would use the addition called WebSphere Transformation Extender with Command Server. So, again, this version allows the TX engine to be executed from scripts, from JCL. And here you see an example of where you're executing the program DSTX with the parameters of SAPER2 application, and IF1 must be input file 1, and that's input SAPER is the name of the file being input for that execution. Having loaded the TX library, you execute the command from a script. So what this indicates is when used in batch mode, there is no continuously running process for using the transformation engine. It's there to execute multi-input, maybe multi-output transformation, but it lasts for the lifetime of that transformation before the engine is called again from the JCL. As I mentioned previously, some of the adapters, it would support, you know, QSAM, VSAM files. WebSphere MQ is used quite widely, and access to, you know, IBM DB2 on System Z with FTP support as well. Again, just repeats that exit function. We mentioned it before. So this would allow you to call existing COBOL and C programs when running batch applications. And again, a few taster of, you know, the installation is reasonably straightforward. You transfer load libraries to the ZOS environment and issue the TSO receive command. Continuing on chart 35. So administration in the batch environment uses standard Z tools. So there should be no need to learn new monitoring tools when using it in batch mode. I mentioned there's no permanently active processes. And again, this is a version that should seamlessly and non-intrusively integrate into your existing production procedures. It does not require major changes to customer job and system administration processes. Moving on, chart 36, WebSphere Transformation Extender and CICS. So in a CICS environment, you can run WebSphere Transformation Extender as a native application, both inline and batch modes. From a transaction perspective, whilst WebSphere Transformation Extender or some editions of it, the event-driven editions have the concept of notion of transactions, here the engine would be under the control of the Kix transaction itself. Again, as native support for VSAN files, DB2, and also transient data queues, temporary storage queues, and storage buffers. Again, in the slide notes, there's some comments as to the installation, but again, you would normally refer to the installation notes for this. The installation should be fairly straightforward for System Z administrator. Chart 37 continues. So how do you invoke TX with Kix from a clear terminal, maybe used mostly for testing and maybe not for production use, using a DSTX command, from a user program, an exec kick start command, a trigger transient data queue, or by calling DSTX kicks, the program, through an exec kicks link. Again, for the kicks environment, administration is through the standard Z tools. Chart 38, IMS support. Web transformation extender for ZOS, where you need to integrate with IMS and using TM and DC components. Here, rather from JCL, you need an addition that can be programmatically executed. So there's an API with Webster Transformation Extender, and it can be called through the IMS. Again, TX participates in the IMS transaction, and you can invoke C and C++ COBOL programs through the IMS execution option. So this version for integrating IMS relies on the platform APIs we provide with the Webster Transformation Extender for ZOS. Chart 39. Here we have the next addition up, if you like, Webster Transformation Extender with Launcher. Again, customers of earlier versions will be familiar with this version. It's a standalone event-driven server. It's quite lightweight. Compared to Message Broker, Webster Message Broker as an event-driven ESB or Message Broker, it's less functional than that product, but it's in use with many customers today out there today, and we continue to support it. Here, the WebSphere Transformation Extender is a process that's always active, waiting for events to occur. And so it can actually deal with some more complex event processing scenarios, such as time-based events where you have multiple inputs and or you're waiting for files to be put into a directory or messages to be put into a queue, and you can do synchronization over time and the source events. So, for example, you can say, if now I need this file to exist, these messages to be in this message queue server, and I'll wait for 5 minutes for this to appear from this application to process this transformation. So again, more capability in the event space, and we tend to call these compound events, multiple sources, and based on source and time aspects. TX for Launcher originates from our Unix edition and does work under the Unix system services environment on the System Z. So important to note, we have editions that work with native Z, and we have the event-driven editions, if you will, that's available using the Unix system services for files, but can still access files on native. We're looking at the adapters, so hierarchical and native file systems can be accessed. You can support DB2 through an MVS or call level interface. We've got FTP, MQ, the Kix 3270 adapter I mentioned, and email. Interesting. Chart 40. Just wanted to segue slightly. Webster Transformation Extender with Launcher is a key component of an application of Webster Transformation Extender called Webster Transformation Extender Trading Manager. So this is a EDI hub application that now is based on Webster Transformation Extender with Launcher together with EDI support, either X12 or one of the EDI industry packs available. And in healthcare, it has additional functionality for use with the HIPAA EDI to actually build healthcare gateways. It consists of two components. One you'll be familiar with now, we've walked through the tools, which is the ability to actually manage the messages, but the application is a database application that deals with the partner management side. So again, if you're building EDI hubs, and again, you need maybe connecting over the internet, connecting to a VAN, we also have an application for an EDI application. That was just an aside, really, to mention that product, trying to create a complete picture for you. Chart 41, maybe the most interesting to you, is those additions were available before we acquired the technology. Since acquiring the technology, we have created an addition specifically for Webster Transformation Extender and Message Broker and for ZOS, but also requiring the Unix system services of ZOS. So here we packaged the transformation node and have it appear on the palette of the flow designer of Message Broker. To all extents and purposes, people and developers experienced with Message Broker can use a transformation extender transformation as one part of their message flow process. And they can use it to extend the functionality within Message Broker itself. Now, Message Broker already comes with significant transformation capabilities, both with JavaScripting and the use of an extended SQL scripting language. But two aspects as to why TX complements Message Broker transformation that's already there. A, the industry packs that can accelerate solution development for more complex data formats. And B, some of the advanced techniques for handling those complex documents and validating them. What you can do in the few lines of the macro would take maybe 50 to 100 lines, if not more, of script to actually get to an equivalent, basically, level of functionality. So it can reduce the amount of scripting you need for Message Broker message flows. It's very easy configuration. The icon installs directly into the message flow palette. You drag and drop the transformation node onto the palette, double click, and you can start configuring it to execute a specific map file, which you've already generated using the Design Studio tools. And then when it comes to connectivity, instead of using the adapters of Transformation Extender, even though they are still available to you, more common you would use the universal connectivity options of Website Message Broker to actually integrate your applications with Message Broker using Message Broker flows. Moving to chart 42, a brief but high-level overview of the deployment scenarios. Here's a summary of those scenarios with the various additions that are suited for each particular scenario. So where you need to embed transformation inside an existing application, you will use the high-level API provided by the engine. It can be COBOL, C, C++, Java. There's support for RMI and COM type interfaces. We use the Webster Transformation Extender Edition that currently is the same name as the family. So when we talk of Webster Transformation Extender, it's a family of editions. And Webster Transformation Extender itself is really the core engine with API support. This would be the edition you would use in conjunction with Webster Process Server or Webster ESB on a Z system on the Unix system services. The Webster Transformation Extender engine basically acts as an enterprise Java bean within those J2EE environments. And this is the version that supports native C-series, so you can run this under MVS environments. The next edition is Webster Transformation Extender with Command Server. So this is what we would use for scheduled and batch processing. You can run from JCL and Unix scripts, so under USS or native, and would be the version you use with Kix. For IMS, we said before that you integrate using the application and programming embedding edition, whereas when you actually order the command server edition on Z systems, the API is provided in that edition. So you would order command server for Kix and IMS, knowing you would get the API. If you were on distributed platforms, as an aside, you might need the SDK or software development kit if you were ordering command server and you wanted to use an application programming interface for it. For the two event-driven scenarios, we have Webster Transformation Extender with Launcher, again, used with install-based customers migrating from a previous version of Launcher. It's a lightweight event-driven transformation service. It's self-contained. This edition includes the command server that support's included, but it's limited to Unix system services support under Z-Series. And the flagship offering, if you like, is to actually extend Webster Message Broker offering with Webster Transformation and an extender capability. So this scenario would be extending your ESB requirements, perhaps in an SOA architecture. This provides message and event-driven. It basically exploits all the connectivity options of Message Broker, including telemetry, publish and subscribe type communications, and is dependent on Webster Message Broker. And again, for completeness, I've listed out all the non-SystemZ platforms also supported by these additions. So that's a quick review of the deployment scenarios. Hopefully it's been useful, and hopefully your slides contain technical information for the more technical amongst you listening to this webcast. So let's summarize. What have we covered? So why is Transformation Extender, or why might it be, the right solution? You eliminate the need of custom programming for integrating and transforming your data, regardless of its complexity. You leverage the powerful graphical facilities, and you've got flexible deployment from Windows to Unix to mainframe, and you can deploy where needed in your environment. Industry packs accelerate solution development. So in terms of business, what it's giving you is a capability to respond quickly and with flexibility to any evolving and strategic business requirements. You can easily design new transformations, include variants of transformations within the same map and execute them conditionally. And you have the ability to leverage the full value of your data applications and enterprise systems with a single tool and transformation service. So chart 44, our last slide for this presentation. Let's look at some of the business benefits and summarize those. We've covered the IT benefits. So this is a solution that could give you a faster time to market. It has demonstrated in existing customer situations some of the highest return on investment for technology, hardware, and the personnel used. Valuable developers can focus on developing applications. Information designers can use the tools to focus on information content running through your environment. It's an extremely scalable and reliable solution, well used in industries. We've covered the finance and banking sector, healthcare, and not to forget other industries with EDI requirements, retail, automotive retail, for example. And basically, this is a generic solution. However, with industry-specific accelerators available to it to enhance your productivity, what it gives you, it lowers the cost of overall ownership and gives you a lowest risk integration approach for data transformation. So from a business perspective, where's the Transformation Extender exhibits, you know, a high return on investment for many customers? Remember, both for the initial deployment and then the year-on-year maintenance. And that's the year-on-year maintenance that may be the key bullet, if you like, the silver bullet, when considering what transformation choices you make for your organization. TX, in many cases, provides a non-intrusive, non-disruptive integration solution. Again, should you change hardware platforms, downsize or upsize, the investment in transformation logic is protected and it's easily transferable. The maps created on earlier versions of the product are easily migrated to new versions. At most, they may need a regeneration of the platform-specific versions, and some older versions may run as is but may not take advantage of the latest features, especially with XML in version 8.1. So again, we encourage you to migrate or plan to migrate in the foreseeable future. So with that, I'd like to thank you for listening to me, and I'll now hand you back to the operator. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Colin. Now we would like you to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. And our first question is, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Please stand by while we allow everyone a chance to respond. And our second question is, what was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And once again, we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. Question 3. How do you transform and validate data for your applications today? If using a Mercator or Essential Data Stage TX, press star 1. If another IBM data transformation product, press star 2. If another vendor's transformation product, press star 3. If you write your own custom programs, press star 4. If other, press star 5. Again, we'll pause. Our fourth question is, which industry standard formats are most relevant to your business? If banking or finance, press star 1. If healthcare or insurance, press star 2. If using EDI in another industry, star 3. If not using industry standards formats, press star 4. And please stand by. Our fifth question is, which describes your current plans as it relates to data transformation? If you are currently evaluating the data transformation solution, press star 1. If you are planning to evaluate a data transformation solution in the next 12 months, press star 2. If you are not currently planning such an evaluation, press star 3. And again, we'll pause. And lastly, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, and if no, press star 2. We'll pause for just a moment. And that concludes our survey and teleconference. Thank you all for your participation, and have a wonderful day.